everybody. I hope you're doing all right and that you're enjoying your day. My name is Henrik, headquartered out of Sweden, Scandinavia. We bring you new radio programs multiple times per week. These are investigations into many of the topics that we enjoy looking closer at as we examine them from a variety of different angles. And of course, we hope that in the process of us asking questions that your own curiosity will be sparked to learn and find out more about the things that interest you. RedIceCreations.com is our website. We are working on some new videos for you guys right now that I think you'll enjoy once completed and out there. These are deeper investigations, our own research into some of the topics that we feel there are some perspective lacking on currently. But today, ladies and gentlemen, we are speaking with Freeman, and we have outlined another set of fascinating connections and bizarre occult and symbolically rich entertainment and media events that we're going to talk in more detail about today. Well, hi, Freeman. Welcome back to Red Ice Radio. Good to talk to you again. It was a while ago, so we're excited to have you back on, Freeman. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well, Henrik, and it is fantastic to be back with you.
It's always a lot of fun to talk to you and your outings and your research into the occult and the esoteric. It does continue, and I watched one of your recent presentations. I know you did one at the Free Your Mind conference, I believe, but I was looking at the one from ConspiracyCon earlier this year in June or July on the aliens from hell, which is, of course, kind of a topic that's sprung out, I guess, of a lot of your previous research, Freeman. And we've done a lot of shows talking about these, connections, many of the connections that you've made. But just tell us a little bit about the concept, if you will, the aliens from hell concept.
Well, it has been a stepping up of stairs and continually finding that I'm everything links together. I haven't changed my tune. Let's put it that way. 8 years of talking about this, and I'm still pushing the same things with new information and new details. So Aliens from Hell was a final somewhat culmination. I'm finding more levels still, though, of putting the puzzle together of saying, okay, we have an occult order ruling our society, creating our civilizations, and designing our future. They have a system that is based in esoteric or magical practices, and this constantly in the lead magicians that I'm looking at, what I call the sorcerers, those that are trying to manipulate mankind, are signs and symbols of the abyss, which is where the Antichrist would rise. And so Aliens from Hell has then now taken the stories of the occult symbols combined with the trauma-based mind control, splitting into personalities and utilizing psychic abilities of trauma-based victims, and coupling this with the NASA Nazi space program and how this relates to communication with extra-dimensional beings that in the in the last millennium would have been called demons, right? So it has kind of changed the story of the extraterrestrial to an interdimensional being and related that to the signs and symbols of the abyss and going into the occult sides of this science.
Right, exactly. Well, there's tons of stuff to this, of course, and the connections you made, and it seems like we know that there's stuff going on beneath the entertainment circuit, of course, and things kind of behind the scenes a little bit more. But again, it's just fascinating to see the ties that you've made in specifically in the entertainment and what's kind of in front of us, if you will, in the media and on the TV screens, going into politics as well. And again, it's always one of these curiosities that I've wondered about of why it is that it's in plain sight. It's like it's right there for everyone to see, for those who have the of course ears to hear and the eyes to see, right?
Yes, and I think they get a sort of glee out of the fact that they are putting it directly out front, and at the same time it's been a tiptoe method into indoctrinating the children into these belief systems and into the signs and symbols and fashion, if you will, of the New World Order.
It seems to me, Freeman, that this has very much to do with also a demoralizing factor. You highlighted this many years ago. I remember that, and I've really started to observing it after that point that you mentioned that you talked about the dark side coming out, or as I like to say, identifying with the dark side. Basically, every movie, not every movie, but a lot of movies these days and a lot of concept that we've seen from the past, even like comic book characters and all this kind of stuff, has turned towards the shadow aspect of the heroes, if you will. In some cases, we're flat out expected to actually identify with the villain. You know, there's even these other animated cartoon movies like Despicable Me, for example, which is all about the thief, if you will, the big villain. That is like the Bond villain, but from his side and his point of view. And this, what do you think is going on with that? And why are we asked to kind of identify with the bad guy these days?
Well, they are absolutely blurring the lines, to use an Alan Thicke quote, between the what is good and what is bad. And what I have been noting recently, and you bring up Despicable Me and the idea of intelligence agencies manipulating people and manipulating situations, and then the issues that these secret agents have to go through in their own personal lives. And I have been watching so much of this programming to see, you know, how it's unlaying. And J.J. Abrams absolutely is at the peak of the list of CIA productions. We know that Alias was actually sponsored and coordinated by the CIA. Alias was a show starring Jennifer Garner and ran for about 5 or 6 seasons, teaching children the difficulties and the wonder of being a secret agent in the CIA, to the point that Jennifer Garner then came out with commercials sponsoring the CIA to say to join. This has been some of the deepest programming coming out throughout the whole situation. Another one would be Fringe, where you have a separate department and a secret organization. And within Fringe, they have a Mengele-type character, the father figure, who did horrific experiments on children, causing, you know, massive trauma. He's the evilest Nazi scientist you could imagine. But in the storyline, they make you feel so much sympathy for this man, for his poor little dopey, Nazi scientist that's been traumatizing children. So what has been occurring is the influx of the intelligence agencies. Now, the DOD, FBI, they have been involved in Hollywood and television from nearly the beginning. But the CIA hadn't really gotten deeply involved other than suggesting storylines and trying to put a better face on the CIA, because Hollywood has always been somewhat bad to the CIA image, showing them as either buffoons or as rogue squads that they can't control. So the CIA now has started sponsoring their own television programming, and then in this teaching children to be spy kids, which has been another major, you know, Antonio Banderas and all of that, bringing out this concept that you want to be a spy. You need to lie to your parents. You need to lie to your loved ones. And I was thinking of Tron. Disney, right, of course, has always been at the top of my social engineering list, and at the height of the interaction between the military-industrial complex and Hollywood has always stood Disney. And their new animated series for children, Tron, is so graphic. Now, the thing is, when these Tron computer program beings die, their blood is actually cubes that fall on the floor. Yet when you see the scenes in this cartoon for children, you'll completely see that they are the most goriest scenes you've ever seen. And what occurs in the programming of this is that they have a character called Renegade, which of course is what they call Barack Obama, and is the idea of one that's turned on his people. Well, the Renegade is trying to save the world, of course. So there again, you've got this the bad guys being good, or is he good? Is he bad? And this is constantly blurring these. But anyone that assists the Renegade, Tron, is immediately slaughtered in front of the children's eyes. They are immediately shot through holes. The camera angle will actually show you right through the body, right through the hole that's just been shot through. And, it's very gory if it actually had blood instead of cubes. So this all boils down, and I'll tie this up here with the Age of Horus, which is the age that Crowley said that we would be moving into from 1904 for the next 2,000 years, or until 3904, mm-hmm. we'd be in the age of Horus. Horus is the falcon-headed god of Egyptian pantheon, their Jesus character, that is a god of vengeance. And Horus, in the Crowley mindset, in the Book of the Law that he channeled from the Great Pyramid, his wife, Rose, did, that has been the foundation of their magical practices and what makes it actually evil. The Book of the Law has Horus depicted in the book as his hawkhead picking out the eyes of Jesus, and that they are to destroy this last aeon of the sacrificed God, of the dead and resurrected God, such as Osiris and Jesus, and bring about this new age, which is more the age of the animalistic human. And
well, we're seeing that, Freeman. You know, that to me, when I watch this, it's clear that we're, at least in this stage, in the transformation process. And I believe it has to be to confuse people that, and I'm not trying to argue and say that things are from a standpoint of heroes or even morals are always that white and black. But it seems that those two components have been very much confused. For example, let me do a quick example. When I watched the Oz the Great and Powerful, the new version, if you will, of the movie, it seemed like a big whitewash to me. I don't know if you saw it, but it looked like an attempt to basically turn, you know, the guy behind the curtain into a good character. Like, oh, okay, he did it because he had to do it. He was kind of forced to it. But it's interesting that throughout the movie, you're basically when the characters initially, you know, when you see them on the screen, you don't know where they are. Are they good? Are they evil? And this back and forth play occurs every time. And any thoughts on that?
Yes. And, you know, the whole situation of being set up in infidelity with the Oz and the Great and Powerful Oz having an affair and causing the strife and bringing about the entire issue and the death of a witch, you know.
Yes.
It also sets that standard because the liberation, the sexual liberation, was something that Aleister Crowley also wanted to propose and bring about. He said that every child should witness every sexual act before it's an adolescent. And we can see this in the Miley Cyrus VMA Awards, in the very thoughts that were being proposed through the two songs that they had combined. Of course, Miley coming out of a pedo bear, a cyborg pedo bear at that, and then whipping her tongue left and right, showing the signs of Kali. Now, you know, she did it so many times that they were making jokes about it on Saturday Night Live, asking her why she kept sticking out her tongue. And she said she was suffering mini strokes, yo. And this was a invocation of Kali that she was performing. You can see her stroking invisible hair, much as Kali would have the hair and the skulls hanging around her neck, and also having the tongue sticking out. Now, Kali, within the Crowley belief system, within the OTO, which is what I'm going to be referring to mostly along this path, because when you start to analyze what we're seeing in VMA awards and even Kabbalistic or Madonna, we're seeing signs and symbols that come through the rituals and magic of the Ordo Templi Orientis. As far as I can analyze the situation, is it fits. So the version of Kali within the OTO is the Whore of Babylon, and really the rise of the Antichrist, the Scarlet Woman. So this is why she comes out and does this. But the songs that, not to mention the kissing of the anus, having that lady placed there just so Miley could stick her face in this lady's butt. That, I mean, that was clearly depicted on a wood etching of the burning of the witches of Salem, because that was the most heinous crime you could possibly perform. And there's Miley with her tongue sticking out like Kali, sticking her face into this booty that was positioned there waiting for her, right? So you can look at the wood carving of the witch burnings of Salem and the devil worship that they were accounting, and then look at Miley, and it's the same image, same imagery. But the songs are what I really wanted to refer to, and Jamie's really working this out for the new show and for the new weird stuff. But the concepts that were coming through of the two songs with Miley singing "We Can Do What We Want," this is a reference to the OTO's motto, "Do What Thou Wilt."
Right.
And of course, the whole song is "We can do what we want. It's our house. We can party like we want. We can do what we want. We own the night." But then they blended this with Alan Thicke, who had come out in his programming robes of black and white and was busy having some sort of pedophilia, you know, extravaganza on the stage with Miley Cyrus, singing "The You're an Animal." And this is the concepts of the Church of Satan and how they relate to the fact that the satanic belief systems say that we are all animalistic and pretty much the most vicious animal on the planet, and that we should live in this way of kill or be killed. And so you've got the two messages of the OTO and Satanism right there blended, coupled with the symbolic gesture of Kali and the ideas of the Salem witch abominations, and everything's right there in front of you.
Twerking, right? For all of you that thought that this would go away, the Oxford Dictionary actually added that word into its into its array of descriptions. It's a twerk, dance to popular music in a sexually provocative manner involving thrusting hip movements and low squatting stance. So there you go. There you have it. It's not going away. There it is. Why? What is it that these, you know, Hannah Montana, Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera, they all go through that. It's that, you know, the girl next door kind of thing that goes wild and now is like a half step away from porn right there on, like, you know, MTV Music Awards, you know. What is that all about anyway?
Yeah. Well, Disney likes to act like they've washed their hands of all of this. But, of course, everyone that you mentioned was a Mouseketeer. Or are related to Mickey Mouse in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
And Disney, as I say, is at the heart of the military-industrial complex's promotional propaganda campaigns. And it's insane when you start to put this together.
It's such a cliche at this point. It's so studied and thought out, right? It's really nothing new with it, but yet at every turn they seem to, as we know and understand, of course, this is about, it's about ratings. They're a brand, ultimately, these people. It's about selling stuff and attention and everything else. But it always just goes down the, you know, towards sexuality and towards porn, basically.
Yes, yes. And it's always more than what it appears. It's never simply greed or money. You know, we're talking about people that own the whole planet.
I agree.
What more could they possibly need? But recently, I've been digging deeper and deeper into the combinations of trauma-based mind control coupled with, the space war. And I've been working on this book, Secret Weapons, reading, I should say, not writing. But it's the tale of Cheryl and Lynn Hershaw, who were brought through the CIA mind control programming as they began to create MKUltra and the Monarch programming. And what I found really interesting in correlation to what you're saying is that these girls had to go through that same type of programming. So they came in as innocent children. Now, they were 4 and 6 when they were inducted into the CIA program. They were using schools to test the children, find out which ones would be profiled perfectly, and also utilizing patriotic fathers that were somewhat deadbeat dads and taking their children under the wing of the operation or the company.
Mm-hmm.
And what I found most intriguing in correlation with this was the innocence of the child has to be destroyed in the very beginning. And so they had to go through this sexy Sadie programming. And they utilized very much what you see in Kubrick's film Clockwork Orange. Pretty much strapping you down to a chair. They had a helmet that you would put on their head, and they were stripped naked. There were electrodes that would electroshock them on their genitals and on their chest and on their head. And as they were shown images of sex, they were then stimulated with the electroshock. And this finally broke the girls down into a sex slave. And this is the first barrier that really needs to be broken in order to open up a human soul for manipulation. But curiously enough, and I really wanted to make this mark, was that the final straw to break the girls, as I'm reading this tale, and it's amazing that all the children involved in the schools and the things that are going on. But the thing that broke the girls was when they went looking for help and no one understood them. No one believed, had even an inkling that this was even a concept, a possibility, that they were being ritually abused at home and by the government organizations like CIA. You know, they were working with Michael Aquino and Dr. Gottlieb and Ewan Cameron, all of the names that, you know, all the Nazi scientists that came over from Paperclip. And these children are being put through these situations.
But by the way, I was in contact with, sorry to interrupt, Freeman, I just want to mention this as well. I was actually in contact with Michael Aquino. He sent me an email because he wanted us to take down a program that we did with a previous guest, talking a little bit about some of the things that had been going on at the Presidio in San Francisco, where he was allegedly involved in this. And nonetheless, we talked a bit back and forth, and I invited him to the show, you know, to actually come on and talk about some of these things, to basically tackle some of the accusations against him. But he just, after several back and forth, he was more interested in taking down one of our interviews. And I said, listen, we won't do that, but you're free to come on the program and we can even debate this with the gentleman that we talked with, you know. So very unfortunate, though, that he didn't want to do that, because I've always been interested in trying to get a little bit closer to if there's any claims there that actually are true. It seems very difficult. Have you heard any other interviews with him? I mean, he was doing that back in the 80s, I believe, some TV shows and such, but not much has been coming out about that since then.
Well, I got a chance to push his button a little bit recently. A friend of mine was working on getting an interview with him, and he seemed to be quite agreeable, and they passed back and forth a number of emails. And Jamie and I suggested that he ask him about the trial, in which he said that the OTO, they were deciding who should be the head of the OTO. And Aquino kind of chuckled and said, if they only knew that they were setting a case on who gets the legal right for butt sex. And so we told our friend to ask him this. And oh my God, I mean, that just set him off. But he never did get the interview either. I was still waiting for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we had him set on that stage.
All righty.
But the important thing I wanted to leave with the story of these two girls going through this trauma-based system and how much it relates to what we see, it's as if they've turned the story in, well, you know, United States of Tara is now popular culture. So trauma-based mind control has become a popular culture thread. And the very aspects that are utilized in trauma-based mind control are all now promoted to us through these characters. Definitely, if you want to understand a step-by-step process of what trauma-based mind control is like, the movie The Butterfly Effect with Ashton Kutcher goes step-by-step. It's if you read Springmeier's book on mind control and you watch that movie, you'll see it's the exact same steps. But what really broke these girls, and what I think is most important, because after all of that, they were still themselves. They were still trying to find a reality in this situation, that they're freaking out because their parents seem to know what's going on, but they don't do anything. You know, that's a very scary situation that you're in, and they're being abused by their father. They're being put in through all these different trials and electrodes and everything else. But the thing that broke the girls' spirit was when they came for help and were ridiculed or just told that, they just have normal depression. No one was even asking the questions that needed to be asked. And they felt so uncared for that at that moment, they no longer cared about humanity. At that moment, their souls broke and said, all right, I'm just a killer and screw everyone because you all have just let me, you know, become this. And I think that's a critical point in why we want to start something like Release the Stars, where we can get people like Roseanne Barr or Corey Feldman or even Chuck Barris to come forward and talk about the pedophilia, not to mention the CIA operations. I mean, Chuck Barris saying that he was a contract killer for the CIA the whole time he was doing the Newlywed Show is astounding, and everybody just kind of passes it off. So we want to bring this to the forefront. We got a concept called Release the Stars, and we're hoping that we can get an open forum for these people to not feel like these two little girls did.
Well, it's a good point. I wanted to, as you were talking, I was writing about, you know, some notes on Corey Feldman, or bringing up some notes rather, because that was an interesting story. It was a number of years ago now when he came out and spoke about, you know, pedophilia being the biggest, you know, problem, if you will, in Hollywood, with some explosive claims that led to, obviously, the downfall, if you will, of his other friend, Corey Haim, who died of drug, you know, abuse and everything else. But there's interesting connections in there, and I think just fairly recently he actually did release that book as well. What was the book called again?
Choreography,
that's right, thank you, exactly. And I don't know how much he actually names names and goes into it more, though, but he's very adamant and detailed that this is a very prominent and powerful network, you know, within Hollywood, and surprising to some people. Then he also said that you know, Michael Jackson was actually one of the persons that he could, he said that he could escape basically to him, and he insists that he never attempted to molest him. And on the flip side of that, there is some stuff about Macaulay Culkin and connections to Michael Jackson as well, and Never Never Land and all that stuff. But it's a gooey mess, let me tell you. Jeez.
Oh, absolutely. And curiously enough, as I, you know, it seems that most everything I talk about and bring out then suddenly becomes something much larger. And I'm always blown away by, say, I bring out the idea, the concepts of the Mark of the Beast, and all of a sudden it's everywhere, and we can talk about that. But in connection to Michael Jackson, as I started in Aliens from Hell to discuss the ideas of the transmission of demons into your soul through fiber optic lines, which is truly what Serge Manast was trying to say was Project Bluebeam. He's saying, no, you know, it's not this fake alien invasion. They are transmitting demons into your soul using radio frequency waves, utilizing fiber optic lines. And in the study of the creation of the television, you're brought back to the Crookes tube, which was developed by this character, Crookes, who was a member of the Golden Dawn Society. Now, this is another magical order, which Crowley once belonged to, but left to rearranged the Ordo Templi Orientis. Mm-hmm. But the Golden Dawn's another magical order, and they wanted to channel a message into the ether and created the first cathode ray tube, your television screen, and transmitted the cross of Malta, the Maltese cross, into the other dimension for their first communications. And of course, this is the same symbol you'll see on the Thule Society, on the Pope, on Masonic orders. You'll find this cross connected with all of these different orders. But the thing was that this cathode ray tube was picked up and taken by a corporation known as Telefunken. And this was a Nazi organization, a Nazi corporation, who had the hopes of putting a television in everybody's homes. They were also the founders of the FM radio frequency band and also created the first computers. Telefunken is now AEG. Well, guess who Michael Jackson was suing when he suddenly either died or transmitted himself back to Akhenaten's Egypt? It was AEG. We're still got the same Nazi Telefunken organization right in the same storyline, still going. And, you know, the story of Michael Jackson, I covered pretty deeply in that Aliens from Hell as well.
Yeah, definitely. So that's interesting. What do you think are the, if we look at some of the other technological components, you mentioned Serge Monast and everything, that the most obvious way that you would, transmit the demons, I guess, would be, you know, through the television. But I've always also wondered if there's something more going on in terms of, broadcasting or interference, if you will, on a larger scale. The TV still kind of is involved of you turning it on or being voluntarily there to kind of watch it, if you will. But do you think that there's other things going on in terms of, you know, opening the rift between the dimensions and projecting the demonic force, you know, more and more onto the planet?
Yes, I do. I think that as I started to make combinations and correlations between Britney Spears and the space program, I'm finding many of the same names coming up in these little girls' trauma-based mind control situations that I'm finding in books on space weapons. So more specifically, Dr. Herbertus Stronghold, who was a Nazi scientist using the death camps as his victims to test the limitations of the human body, and almost always ending in death or at least complete psychological and physiological destruction. Well, he was one of the ones brought over with Project Paperclip. And lo and behold, if he wasn't placed right into this whole situation of MKUltra and the Monarch programming, having his whole background whitewashed to say that he was just stuck in a bad situation. And this guy is now utilized by the Air Force and NASA, or at the time, as the space program began, when Wernher von Braun and Dr. Stronghold had come over, he was doing the human limitation tests on our pilots and on the astronauts for the astronautical program of the military. So I do believe that now, as I start to see the correlations between the trauma-based victims and these occultist scientists, I believe that there has to be a fracture in the soul or multiple personality disorder in order to open a space within our minds for these demons to enter. Perhaps as a solid soul, you can't. So there are numerous technologies that are going into place. Of course, we've been talking about HARP forever and ever, and it just recently closed, like last October. I guess it's been a year now, but is still being utilized by military, unannounced utilization of HARP now, whereas it used to be an open science project. Now it's technically closed, but still used. And of course, we discussed the ideas of Project Bluebeam when we were looking at the Norway spiral, and the fact that there was a rocket launched, and there's just been another one recently that occurred that emitted this plume, which we believe to be an aluminum oxide cloud that then was pulsed by the ionospheric heater of Norway, which is called ISCAT, and that this technology is what I believe is their method of attempting transmission into the other dimensions. So,
interesting.
You start to couple this with all of the waves that we are in, the smart meters, the targeted people, the Wi-Fi, all of that we're going through, and the new technologies that are going up all around us that we barely see. I do believe that they're finding a way to traumatize us enough to open a little wedge in us for such a thing to happen.
And there's other ways to create schisms in your personality as well. I think they can be achieved in multiple different ways, and it hasn't always be the kind of the hands-on approach that the many people will be familiar with when when they research mind control. I think there are more other subtle techniques. Because to me, Freeman, it seems like there is a kind of a soft traumatization going on of mankind, basically, in increments, in small applications every day. You know, the fact that people seem to be kind of disassociated from themselves, if you will. I mean, a combination of pills, the medication that they're on, and basically the disassociation from their own life. They might not be that interested in what they do or what they work with or anything like that. I think all of these things actually creates rifts in your personality. And I always wondered if there is an ulterior motive for that, of why they want to try to kind of, egg on that process, if you will. What do you think?
Yeah. And I realized that Homo sapien has never had to take in as much data as a human in the 21st century.
That's right. Yeah. Oh,
my God, the things we know now, the things that we think about and see, it's way too much. And people can't keep up with the amount of stream that's just rolling through. And so everything just kind of becomes a river washing aside them. And they never really get to feel the water or to see the molecules or to get deeper into it. It just washes past.
Yeah, well, that's right.
We definitely are in a trauma situation subtly and not so subtly, definitely through these frequency modulations, they are causing illnesses, mindsets. We're seeing some freaky stuff out there, you know, zombies and a lot of the newscasters are just having meltdowns, and we get to see all of this unfolding in front of us. But on top of that, then there's the big fear. Everybody has the big fear. I noticed that most people aren't interested in going back and utilizing resources for study. They want to know what's the next big trauma that I have to deal with.
Right.
And currently the next big trauma probably is this Grid X2 program. Have you discussed this on the show?
No, I have not. Please lead us into it if you want to.
Okay. Well, from today through Wednesday, most specifically Wednesday is the key date. So that's November 13th is the key date. The Grid X program is a combination of numerous military operations, Department of Defense, and including other nations such as...
Okay. Yeah. Now I know what you're doing. Go ahead, Freeman. But yeah, we did actually talk about it briefly about the drill in terms of the energy grid. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. So U.S., Mexico, Canada, and then over 150 different organizations within the U.S. are preparing for a grid meltdown and for a drill. So they're going to perform this drill that and it's going to coincide with another first ever event, which is a humanitarian disaster relief exercise with the Army and the Republic of China. So this is going to be going on in the Pacific near Hawaii, while in the U.S., all across the U.S., they are going to pretend as if there's been a cyber attack on the United States and that the entire power grid has come down, very much like the television show Revolution. And how much of the mind pattern programming we tend to get out of these shows. They released the National Geographic horrible documentary on this power outage and what would occur. And when you watch this, it was nothing but fear porn. There was not one example of cooperation. Everything was brother against brother. It was prepper versus non-prepper.
Right.
It was just satanic dream, you know, the idea that we become these vicious beasts and we'll do nothing but kill one another.
You know, without civilization and government, everything would just crumble and we would just like, you know, our morality would disappear and we'd just go out there as crazy animals and eat and murder everyone.
Yeah, yeah. The thing is that we are in a situation right now where this is entirely possible, whether or not it's probable. Janet Napolitano definitely said it was going to happen. There was no ifs, ands, or buts in this situation. And, of course, America does have to come down in this scenario. All of the main systems of the New World Order have been kind of being pushed out of the U.S. and systems going into, like, Canberra and Australia or Astana and Kazakhstan. And we see the new world capitals forming outside of the United States. Of course, we see a lot of preparation going on in the United States for those that have the knowledge to survive. But this would be the ultimate trauma. This would be that moment where they could utilize all of the propaganda and also the different, you know, forceful trauma situations.
Yeah. Well, there is a certain, the oh my god effect, right? That's people are after that one. They want it. They want to, you know, find it, and then when that blows off or whatever, people go hunt for the next one. And it's a
right.
I mean, that's a process in itself with all the information junkies, if you will, that's out there. And again, it's understandable. We want to know. We want to try to understand. We want to analyze. We want to know the fear and everything else. But the fact is that this also creates an environment within yourself and within your body where you are basically, you know, hooked to the oxytocin. You know, effects, if you will, you're literally getting high off of, you know, going down into these kind of tragedies or traumas that are potential on the horizon. And then even if they, you know, happen or not, and usually they not happen, of course, there's been so many of these kind of screaming wolf type scenarios, but people go hunt for the next one. What do you think that this does to people who are on that level all the time, the fear and kind of yeah, the fear level, basically.
When you talk to a trauma-based mind control victim such as Kathy O'Brien, who I hope is going to play a big part in my new show, or at least a part, you find that the only solution to this fractured soul is the sense of security. And so if that's your only solution, the only cure, no one's getting that. There's no sense of security in anyone at this time. Even people that try to go about their day-to-day existence can feel what is coming and can see that there's no changes that are really positive occurring. And so, yeah, it definitely will, you know, so the people need to then refocus on themselves, refocus on what I like to, you know, the beliefs inside of the Celestine prophecies. Go out, sit down with beauty and reflect on it, because you need that way more than you need all the fear porn or the data that you think that you need. You need these moments of bliss that are going to teach you about the goodness of the universe. Because seriously, my greatest hope for everyone to the message I would always hope people would receive from me is this concept of this divine hand that is in our lives that we are ignoring because we are being programmed to think we know what we need.
Yeah.
And so there's the two sides of the story, the sorcerer and the magician, and everybody's being conditioned to be a sorcerer, that one that manipulates this divine will to their own needs, versus one that is guided and brought forth by that divine will. So the more people that could start infusing their world with love, infusing the food that they craft with love, you know, get out of these. I can't believe people still eat fast food. They are weapon systems.
It's unbelievable. Exactly. You know, you drive by McDonald's and the drive-by is full, of course. You know, it's like never fails.
They don't even look like, they look like plastic Lego buildings to me, because I don't see them as food anymore. They're just like this plastic thing that flies past my perception.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's food wise. That's probably, you know, that's pretty close to reality right there, because there isn't much nutrition and food in there anymore. It is like a plastic. You just kind of, you know, mold it out. Just, and there it is, you know, great.
Yeah. Yeah. This whole, this is another thing is the lack of beauty in our world. And these homogenized buildings where you're driving through town after town and it's always the same corporation and one after other, franchise, franchise, franchise. And that has destroyed all sense of being within our people. You know, the being of a people generally was stemmed from their town.
Yeah.
And you will absolutely see a correlation of happy, well-rounded people surrounded by beauty and the distraught, mangled people that we have here in this lack of beauty.
It's a globalized world, and you know, I think that the homogenized, you know, neo sapiens that they're, you know, molding and creating right now is going to come to a point where they're so devoid of humanity that the whole world is going to feel like their home once, you know, the global culture is in place. But you know, one point I want to get back to was when government, you know, police in connection with security agencies and all these things, you know, point fingers at weaknesses in the grid and the system and everything. The interesting thing that is what happened is that they're basically justifying their own existence to all the other people out there. They're constantly hitting and pushing on the notes that, you know, you guys need us basically. Without this, it would fall apart. So even with the false flags that goes on out there with the drills, if you will, that's part of the structure, there is an inherent benefit almost to an extent. Although people think that, of course, that they're pointing out the fallacies with this, the inaccuracies and the fact that, you know, people are onto them and their plan, if you will. But in that regard, nothing has changed. If people is in, just as you say, Freeman, if people still is in that, you know, fear mode, if you will, and not secure in their, you know, in their own capacity of what they can do for themselves, people will constantly look for external, you know, agencies to basically take care of them. And to a certain extent, that's what's justifying their behavior and their existence, right?
Yeah. you had just flashed me on to, the idea though is that these things come into play, and the only thing that changes is the control grid that we exist under.
Right.
So a current example of this is that we just had this horrific, or still are having this horrific typhoon in the Philippines. And so Google has now decided to use this as a great campaign to announce their Google People Finder.
Oh, really?
System that they have just established, or have been waiting to for the right crisis to bring forward. And so now, of course, once the People Finder is out there, which I'm not, I read through the article, couldn't really sort out what that meant. Sounds frightening to me. Is, you know, now brought out as a good thing because we need to find the people that were lost in this horrible typhoon. But of course, the People Finder is not going to go away once the typhoon is over.
Yeah, yeah, I know. It's, well, they always take the opportunity to use an accident or a natural catastrophe or anything like this, basically, to further advance their agenda. But one thing I wanted to get back to, Freeman, as well, you know, I'll see more to add to that, of course, is this idea of the identification with the dark side, and if we could get a little closer to the core of what you think is being, what humanity in essence is at one point channeling, perhaps. I don't know if that's the right word, but at the same time, we're being asked to accept new deities, if you will. They're not really new, of course. They're very ancient, as you've been pointing out. This is things that go back to the demons throughout mythology. But with the transformation of the children who are watching all this on the TV and everything else, I wanted to try to get a little closer to what the agenda is here, the bigger picture, and what we're being transformed into, if you will. If there's a reason for the fact that we're being asked to identify with the demons, if you will. What do you make of that, Freeman?
Well, it was laid out in Crowley's idea of the Age of Horus. And it's the age of the crowned and conquering child. And so the sophistry and the narcissism that is being generated by these beliefs and by identifying with the darker characters, and even the light characters are dark now too, and usually have to blur the lines in order to achieve their goodness. So, you know, I think of things like Disney's The Prestige, which shows that you have to get your hands dirty to make changes in the world. And of course, they're killing little birds in front of children, which was a technique used in the mind control programs as well. And it was one that was written out in Disney's Education for Death, and how the child would not allow the bunny to be killed until enough trauma had occurred to him, and then it was okay for the bunny to die. And Goebbels, the Nazi propagandist, he took these techniques as well and started writing stories of the fox and doing a similar thing, conditioning children that it's okay to kill. And so the biggest picture, okay, so the situation is that it always requires a belief system to come out of the equation. So it's not, you can't simply just go destroy a people, because this generally makes them martyrs, makes them stronger, makes their belief systems in themselves, the ones that they didn't want programmed into them, stronger. So you have to condition the public to a reaction, and that way they think it's their own idea. And of course, the idea for them is to open this Age of Horus, where humanity is seen as just, you know, advanced primates and need to constantly be conditioned and controlled. So they need the public to believe this. So they bring out the ideas of global warming due to humanity instead of the sun. They bring out all the nefarious aspects of humanity and say it's all our fault.
Yeah.
When we know it hasn't been. I mean, I have nothing to do with this. I'd end it all in a heartbeat. So the conditioning for the future world is what's at stake here. They need to be able to program us properly so that once the major event, whatever it may be, currently we're looking at the ideas of Comet Ison coming and causing some sort of ELE extinction level event. But I don't think that myself personally. Just that's the latest concern. But there are a number of asteroids and things coming in, and it just happens that they just shut down the space fence, the protection grid of satellites that we have tracking all of these incoming potential planet killers or nation killers, and they shut that whole system down. Meanwhile, when the government shutdown happened, they also shut down all the NASA projects that were tracking these incoming bolides and potential threats to life on planet Earth. So it seems as if they're opening the gate for this trauma to come in, the idea of the asteroids, as Wernher von Braun had said, and allowing it to, because we've been blinded. They shut down everything, all the things that I'd been tracking were suddenly shut down in that government shutdown for tracking near-Earth objects. So the real issue is engendering the current mind pattern programming, the belief systems necessary for their new world order to perpetuate itself.
Indeed. I mean, there's so much more to this, Freeman. I want to try to get a little closer to some of the X symbolism, and you had a couple of notes on that on your website as well regarding the new operating system for Apple and everything else. And, you know, all these things kind of tie into the concept of the aliens from hell, but also the New World Order capitals. You have some pretty interesting stuff on, you know, Astana. You mentioned that briefly. I'd love to get into that more in the second here. But, before we take a break, Freeman, why don't we just talk a little bit more about some of the stuff that you guys have out there? You have the magazine, Weird Stuff. I know that you and Freighter X are working on the TV show for on David Icke's network. So go ahead and tell us a little bit about some of the things you have upcoming and some of the stuff you have on the website as well, Freeman.
All right. Well, of course, Aliens from Hell is up on there. You can purchase that to have a view and download it. I'm certain it's the best thing I've ever done, so I'm real happy with it. And I'm taking a lot of these concepts and a lot of the ideas and turning them a little bit on their side a little bit, having some fun. I'm creating a new show for FreemanTV.com. But at the same time, I have a lot of channels that I can run this through, and the People's Voice seems like a perfect place for my show. So I'm creating a new show called Conspiracy Science Theater, and it is a conspiracy variety show that just, I hope to get chuckles out of people. I think you get more, more out of honey, right, than the anger. And so it's my hope to teach people by making them laugh at the things that are going on. Meanwhile, showing them the truth, but letting the pressure release by a little bit of humor. So, Conspiracy Science Theater is going to be off limits, man. It's going to be over the top. You can believe I'm going to push as far as I can with this and have a lot of fun with it. So we have that going on. Weird Stuff Part 1 has been doing very well. I think it has been voted the number one coffee table book for Christmas, or so so the comments say. I think it's a great book for anyone that wants to share information with their friends who don't want the information. We titled it Weird Stuff so that it was innocuous, so that they could laugh at it, you see, because we're trying to get past the choir and get to the impactful people, the ones that don't really want to know. And Weird Stuff is designed, this is our book, to capture people in many different ways. And you can just flip through it. You don't have to read the book in order. And we set it up so that everyone finds something they relate to and will begin to look into whatever. And it's also designed to be read in little portions so that you can just take what you want, because ain't nobody got time for that, right?
Right.
We know this now. And my show is going to be developed on that same platform where it's little bits and cut up and kind of, ADD. So we've got Weird Stuff Part 2 coming very soon. Weird Stuff Part 1 really got into, are you a magician? Are you a sorcerer? And then the age and the rise of the dark hero, like we've been talking about, getting into the Mark of the Beast. And part two is going deeper into the belly of the beast, getting much darker, getting into trauma-based mind control, discussing all of the celebrities and their relationships and then into this situation, and getting more and more into the concepts of slavery and how much we are still slaves, and how much of our world is developed and created by slaves. So we found that when little children, especially girls, start reading about the slavery that creates their toys, this has really made an impact in these children. And they're like, I don't want these toys anymore. So that's what we're hoping for, Weird Stuff. So we got that. I've got the flash drive, which I think is really just, you know, it's the culmination of everything. It's 8 gigabytes of all my lectures and all of our shows, and it just really, and I have now included in the flash drive the Aliens from Hell lecture and also a flash version of Weird Stuff, our book. So you get all of that in the flash drive. And other than that, I'm just pushing things. I'm creating new shows and I'm getting ready to really push some buttons and make you chuckle and hopefully transform the planet to a more beautiful place.
FreemanTV.com is the website, and yeah, check out the Aliens from Hell presentation as well if you haven't seen any of that material before. It's gonna turn your socks on fire in regards to some of the most outrageous and surprising connections you can imagine. Some really fascinating stuff in there, and then the magazine or Weird Stuff as well, of course. Well, Freeman, we're going to continue talking more here in the second about the New World Order capitals and everything else that's tying into this, so stay with us and we'll be right back with more. In the second hour, Freeman explains the origins of the Mark of the Beast and how it relates to popular culture, new technologies, and human cloning. Then Freeman tells us about the New World Order global capitals and how Kazakhstan is at the very forefront of these new extraterrestrial pre-planned cities. These capital cities are designed to reflect an ancient magical seal of Solomon to bind demons and to perform magic. There are some very scary but also very real threatening developments within technology right now that ties into the occult. Sounds strange? Well, we have more about this coming up at redeyesmembers.com. If you've been enjoying our free archive, it's on our members' website where you can hear all the continuations of all the programs and older shows in full as well. We also have a ton of videos, films, and other content there as well. And we, of course, spare you from commercial interruptions and ad-free websites. But we are listener-supported, so it's you guys who ensure just how much more of Red Eyes you want. With more members, the quicker we can grow. And so the more help we can get, we can produce much more videos, radios, and, of course, research in the process as well. We have some new videos in production right now as well, so look out for those. RedEyesMembers.com, that's the website. Please take a look, and I hope you enjoy. Let me just share with you some of our upcoming guests here before we proceed. Mike Mitchum is going to be on the smart grid and the connection to the transhumanist agenda. Then we have Andreas Bachmeier, Judy Byington, Jesse Ventura, Louise Proud, John Whitehead, Richard Hoagland, and Anthony Peake. All right, well, I think that about covers it. Thank you for staying with us. We'll talk to you and Freeman after the break. See you there.